Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, winner of the National Radio Hall of Fame Award, Michael Savage.
Now, there are rumors that people are wagging their tongues over Trump inviting this low-life rapper, Vermin, to the Trump Tower. And I wouldn't be that alarmed. We have rumors that his psychiatrist's office is actually in the Trump Tower, and that he was going there to renew his prescription for the meds, having just come out of the nut house. But the issue is, what happened to the culture war, stupid? Do you think Trump meeting with Kanye West matters? I do. Gives him the honor of actually escorting him personally out of the building. Now, this does matter, because we thought that with the election of Donald Trump, we might just get the culture back on course. Wasn't it about Make America Great Again? Doesn't that mean getting back to standards, morals, faith that built the nation? Now, Obama, as you know, deranged the nation, degraded the White House, welcomed the former drug dealer Jay-Z into the White House, debased himself with YouTube stars, and we thought those days were over. Now, look, you can be loyal to Donald Trump if you wish. This is about a nation. Why is Trump welcoming all those who fought against him to get elected while ignoring those who fought for him? Leon DiCaprio? Al Gore? This one? Now it's the Kardashians in the Lincoln bedroom? And I thought we were finished with Al Sharpton in the Lincoln bedroom. I think Trump has to stop being a reality star. This is not a television show. This is about saving the nation. Kanye West is not the person to turn to when you want to do that. If you listen to the content of his songs, you will hear a vision of America that is lower than the gutter. With Bill Clinton, it was about the economy, stupid. Trump can take care of the economy, we hope, but he also must remember that it's about the culture as well. So I'm going to ask you about this today and so many other things. What do you think of the Kardashians being invited into the White House? Do you believe we're losing the culture war, and does it matter? Did Trump pick the right man for Secretary of State? What's wrong with Exxon? Will McConnell and Ryan block Trump's agenda on immigration and lowering taxes? I hope not, but I think so. I'm not surprised by any of this, incidentally. Let me explain what happened. On November 14, 2016, I published an article that was written by WorldNet Daily. They interviewed me. It was put on the Drudge Report for about 18 hours. It got millions and millions of people were shocked by what I wrote. The headline was, Savage Warns Trump on Priebus Looks Like Jeb Bush Won. And the subhead was, From Rhinos to Rinso in One Election. Now, I'm going to read you that article in a minute. It's very brief. What happened was, is I alienated the entire Trump administration with that one article because I dared step out of line. But the fact of the matter is, I have a primary loyalty to the truth, number one, and to my audience, because without it, there's no point in being on radio anymore. I could retire. I could enjoy myself. I wouldn't have to be stressed out every day. I mean, yesterday, for example, I took the day off. I worked on my God book, and I walked in the streets of San Francisco, and I saw the most beautiful city in the world. I didn't see maybe one or two bums. There were no gangbangers. You see, I walked from the financial district all the way up California Street, which is one of the most amazing walks in the world. It's very, very steep. I walked to the Fairmont Hotel to see the children going in and out of the gingerbread house. It was beautiful to be around the children. It was beautiful to see the Christmas lights at dusk. It was beautiful to see the Bay Bridge lit up and the full moon last night. Believe me, there's a beautiful world out there that has nothing to do with politics, and I know how to steep myself in it. I do not need an invitation to enjoy the beauty of the world. So believe me, I know where the world is and how to access it. But the fact of the matter is, I'm very, very concerned about the direction of some of these visits and some of these appointments, as are you. I think many of you are also reeling with the decision-making. And you're starting to say, wait a minute, what the heck is going on here? Why is a rapper known for vile lyrics, anti-woman, anti-white, anti-family, anti-America, Why is he being embraced by the man that we embraced? Many of you are asking that. And then you wonder about McConnell. I never wondered about McConnell. We know what he is. He did it to us in 2012. Boehner and McConnell screwed us in 2012 after we put them back in power, and they're doing it again. Now, I saw this happening, and so I wrote From Rhinos to Rinso in One Election on November 14th, 2016. Less than a week after Trump's victory, the nationally syndicated radio host is keeping his word, criticizing the appointment of Republican National Committee Chairman Rince Priebus as White House Chief of Staff. We've gone from Rhinos to Rinso in One Election, Savage told WND, dubbing Priebus with the name of the iconic laundry soap. Savage said he wanted to make it clear he was not turning on Trump. I'm not attacking Trump at all, he told WMD. I'm advising Trump to beware, because if he loses his base on the first day, what's going to happen in the first month, second month, third month? Savage went on and said, this is a criticism of the establishment that is so all-powerful that they're already entangling him. Savage has described in his latest book, Scorched Earth, Restoring the Country After Obama, as an architectural plan for Trump. Trump was a frequent guest on the Savage Nation, including on election day in the hours before Trump stunned establishment media and pundits with his victory over Hillary Clinton. Savage noted Priebus has argued for embracing comprehensive immigration reform, which opponents regard as de facto amnesty. And back in April, Savage pointed out, Priebus said he would not let the Trump campaign take over the Republican Party apparatus if he won the nomination, the New York Times reported. If we don't raise our voices now and say no over our dead bodies, you're not doing this to us again. Boehner and McConnell, who are they going to put on the Supreme Court, Savage asked. Are we going to get the conservative judges we were promised? Or are we going to get middle-of-the-roaders like Roberts, Rhino, Rinso judges? On trade, will the Rinsos pass TPP, Trans-Pacific Partnership, after we were told they were going to oppose TP? Priebus will create the top layer of bureaucracy in the country, not Bannon. Trump could have chosen Bannon, but he didn't. He also noted that the chief of staff is the gatekeeper to the White House. He decides who sleeps in the Lincoln bedroom, Savage said. We're going to have lobbyists. We're going to have Republican loyalists. We'll have the same exact thing we got under Boehner and McConnell, said Savage. Who do you think they're going to pick? They're not going to pick young Turks who want to change Washington. They want the status quo. It's going to be the Chamber of Commerce. It's as though Jeb Bush won. Savage added a word of perspective, however, imagining the alternative. Even if we only get 10% of what Trump promised us, we're 1,000% better than if she had won, he said, referring to Clinton. Remember what she would have done, Savage said. The Second Amendment would have been gone. The First Amendment emasculated. She would have increased the surveillance state. She would have flooded America with Muslims, raised taxes on the middle class, and day and night propaganda about the evils of being straight and the evils of the white race. So we're way ahead of the curve, said Michael Savage in the article From Rhinos to Rinso in One Election. Now, on that November 14, 2016, I knew I took a big chance, but I had to do it. And now I'm waking up and it seems to be a nightmare. One day after another, they seem to be tilting so far away from what they promised that it's hard to even remember what it is that he promised. So what do you think? Those are some of the questions. To me, the culture war matters. Remember, we once had a president who said family values matter. Does Kanye West represent family values? They don't represent my family values, maybe yours. I can read you some of the lyrics of this vermin, dirtbag, psychopath. But I want to know why he is in Trump Tower. What message is Trump sending by inviting him there? Let's begin with Daniel on WKZO in Michigan. Daniel, what do you think about inviting a rapper psycho to Trump Tower?
I think as badly of it as I do a lot of the things he's doing, talking about, you know, Obama and how he agrees with Obama on so many things. When he was running for president, he didn't agree with Obama on nothing. Neither did I, neither did you, neither did any of the people voting for him. And now he talks about he has great respect for him and he's calling him for his opinion. What, I mean, and inviting this rapper up to Trump Towers. I mean, are you kidding me? Had he told us he was going to do these things, do you think this movement would have been as big as it was? I don't think so.
I think you made a very good point, and I don't think you're alone. And it's that simple. What else can we say? And I thank you for calling. Well, last Friday, it was even more shocking when several of the Republicans, and I hope the guys can find those speeches, said that we really didn't promise you a wall. It wasn't even a wall we were talking about, and it wasn't even a fence. It was a concept. See, we stupid people, we Eddies and Ediths, we actually thought he meant a wall. But the Republicans came forward on Friday and said, no, no, no. We didn't mean a wall. It's just a concept of a wall. So what's going to happen with that? That's gone by the wayside as well. What do you think's going to happen when he says there's no wall? Are you still going to wipe it away as that's okay or what? 855-400-7282, 855-400-SAVAGE. Adam on KSFO, line one. Go ahead, please. Your opinion counts.
Michael, it's a pleasure. Kanye West, I saw your post on Facebook about calling him vermin. I agree, a lot of those idiots are vermins. The rappers, a lot of them are dumb, thug vermins. I agree. Kanye West, though, is a real innovator, real producer, and I think giving him a chance would be just a good thing on our...
Have you seen his lyrics, the so-called lyrics of this illiterate goofball?
Yeah, I can agree with you that all his lyrics are basically not...
Well, maybe we'll hear that at the inauguration.
They're not...
For all my Southside ends that know me best, I feel like me and Taylor might still have sex. Why? I made that B famous. I made that B famous. For all the girls that got D from Kanye, if you see him in the streets, give him Kanye's best. Should I read the rest of the lyrics? Instead of a Star-Spangled Banner or America the Beautiful? Is this what we're going to get? This filth from the deranged gutter?
I'm sure we can agree that he's not, you know, a great, you know, writer in that term. But
my psychic told me she have an A like Serena, Trina, Jennifer Lopez. I got to take all the bad A to show biz, okay. Got your kids. I mean, do I have to read any more of this to you?
It's not that, Michael. And Michael, I'm on your...
Now, if I F this model and she just bleached her A and I get bleach on my T, I'm a feel like an A. I was high when I met her. I was down in Tribeca. She get under your skin if you let her. She get under your skin if you, I don't even want to talk about it. I don't even want to talk about it. I don't even want to say nothing. Everybody going to say something. I'd be worried if they said nothing. Maybe that could be put in place of the Star-Spangled Banner at the inauguration.
I never said that. I just said that he does.
No, no, that's what we should do. We should have him perform at the inauguration. And perhaps Kellyanne Conway can come out in a new outfit for that one. Instead of dressing as a witch at a costume party. If something rhymes with the word, but I can't use it on a family show. But it would go along with the theme of the song and the lyrics. I mean, it's the America that we voted for. This is what we killed ourselves for, to see this kind of garbage marching around in the gilded halls there, in the marble halls. Now, I've had people who I respect say to me, look, Savage, let me explain something. He's got all the people he needed to get elected, you included. And now he's reaching out to all the people who opposed him, Al Gore, Bill Gates, and he's trying to now get them on his side so he has no opposition. It's very smart politics. Okay, I accept that. But there's a big but to that. What is the big but to that? I'll be back to take your calls right here on the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com. In one administration. I mean, I don't know where this ends. I don't know how this ends. I understand how brilliant he is. I know how smart he is. I know he's outsmarting everyone. He's playing electronic chess while us dummies are playing backgammon. Toothless dummies who put him in power. We're just too stupid to see how smart this is. Now, someone has written me, who I respect very much, who said, if he can put to rest some of the hatred of Black Lives Matter by doing this, I'll read it exactly, because some people are very smart. I can't even paraphrase what they say. I just said my email is as slow as Kanye West's brain is. Hold on a minute. My email is as slow as you can imagine. What is this with AOL? Who runs this thing? Loading. You hear this? Yeah, let's play a syncopated clock while it's downloading. Suddenly it's 1981. The computer is the size of a truck. Okay, here. If this rapper makes black people calm down from their anti-white hatred and get behind Trump, then he is a useful idiot, and Trump is smart to use him. That's all. That's all. I don't see it that way. I'm sorry. I believe that this is melting the culture down to a level that I could not believe it would be melted down to. I believe he's alienating the core Republican base that put this... Okay, I believe he's alienating the core base that elected him. Let's put it to you that way. Now you say, oh, well, you're mad because he didn't do this, he didn't do that. I don't need anything, I don't want anything. Let me be very clear to you. The only thing I ever thought I might ask him for, and I'll say it to you right now on this radio show, because I'm taking off as of this Friday for 2 weeks, so I'm in a clean house right now. I'm cleaning out all my inventory. So mark this down. The only thing in the back of my mind that I thought I would ever ask Trump for, which is off the table, would be to get my name off that banned list in England because I never belonged there to begin with. But let me tell you something. The new Prime Minister of England is Theresa May. She was Foreign Secretary when I was put on that list. There's no chance that she would ever take me off that list because she's a left-wing fanatic. That's number one. And number two, I don't think that Trump would care one way or the other. There's nothing in it for him. And number three, I don't need to go there for the fish and chips and the dental work. I mean, if I want bad dental care, I can have it right here near my house. I've gotten it in the last few weeks. The guy put a tooth in me that you wouldn't put into a corpse. I'll tell you that story someday. A crown, I never saw anything like it. If you were dressing a stiff for the box, they couldn't have done a worse job than this clown.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
No, they're saying that his shrink may be in that building. He was going to get his renewal on a prescription in the building. They just happened to run into each other in a lobby. They don't actually know each other. It was a fantasy of the New York Post. Well, now we move on to... Bill Gates, who says that Trump has the opportunity to be like JFK, which is very interesting, in that Bill Gates, of course, is a powerful businessman who has a company that should be broken up under antitrust laws, as I've said before, as should Facebook. I'm sure that the undershirt will be there next week. I'm sure the Facebook airplane is on the way, and undershirt will be seen in the lobby coming out. Does he ever wear a jacket, even in the cold? What does he have, like, some people walk around him with, like, heat? He can never be seen without an undershirt, Zuckerberg. Anyway, Bill Gates goes there in the sweater, and he comes out in clip 9 and salutes him and calls him JFK. Let's hear this one.
A lot of his message has been about things where he sees things not as good as he'd like, but in the same way that President Kennedy talked about the space mission and got the country behind that, I think that whether it's education or stopping epidemics, other health breakthroughs, finishing polio, and in this energy space, there can be a very upbeat message that his administration is going to organize things, get rid of regulatory barriers, and have American leadership through innovation be one of the things that...
All right. We got the picture. We got the picture. The whiz kid, he's happy with Trump now. Hated him before the election, backed Hillary Clinton, and now loves him. Well, what's interesting here is that he doesn't want his company broken up with an antitrust action. That's all. So he figured, I'll go take a trip to the tower. And he came out glowing, calling him JFK. So I guess that's over with. I guess there's not going to be an antitrust division in the new Justice Department. Maybe that's not even going to happen because we know that Facebook is a monopoly. We know that Microsoft is a monopoly. We know that Google is a monopoly. We know that all of these companies... if we lived in a rational nation, would be broken up under antitrust legislation, which I wrote about in two books now, Government Zero, I explain why, Scorched Earth, I explain why. What is an antitrust division for? It's to make sure that there's competition. It's to make sure that there's a free capitalist system where there is competition. This is capitalism 101. But when a company becomes so big and so powerful, and they own the Congress, and the Congress will not stop their control of a particular sector of an industry, then there's no longer competition, there's no longer capitalism, there's no longer free capitalism, it's crony capitalism. Worse than that, there's no chance for a young company to develop because they're crushed immediately. And that's where a government steps in and lets younger people develop competition. So Trump now visits with Gates. Gates comes out, calls him JFK, so I guess that's off the table. Let's see what else we have here in the kitty for you on this wonderful day on the Savage Nation. Oh, would the day be complete without saying Russia? The Russians did everything. Maybe Putin made him take Kanye West into Trump Tower. That's what I'm thinking. I think Putin must have called Trump and said, you have to meet the rapper in the lobby or else we'll invade, France. Yep, yeah, you got to have the rapper in there or we're going to invade France. That's the next conspiracy theory. This is astounding. So Obama now gives a speech, and going out the door, he stirs up the old racism again. He goes on a Comedy Central show. Where else does he belong? I mean, that's his future as Comedy Central. He came from Comedy Central. He's going to end up on Comedy Central. Listen to how this pompous, crazy, obverse liar speaks in clip 7.
My general theory is that if I was clear in my own mind about who I was, comfortable in my own skin, and had clarity about the way in which race continues to be this powerful factor in so many elements of our lives, but that it is not the only factor in so many aspects of our lives, that we have by no means overcome the legacies of slavery and Jim Crow and colonialism and racism.
Bingo. A four-shotter. He got into one sentence the key words, slavery, Jim Crow, colonialism, racism. Now, he was a kid raised by white grandparents, never suffered racism a day in his life. By his own admission, he never suffered racism. By his own admission, he didn't identify with any of these things until he went to Columbia. And then when he started acting out the role of a radical, he got a lot of attention from all of the commies over there. And that's when he started to play up on it. Look where it got him. Two terms as president. So why should he stop now? He's leaving the White House. So what's left for him to do? Whatever he wants. So the best way to do it is do it the way he's been doing it. Talk about slavery, Jim Crow, colonialism, racism. The man never worked a day in his life before becoming a senator. Never had a job. He never had a job. Think about that. And he never suffered from racism. Why does he go on and on about it? Well, here's clip 8. He explains a little bit more about his animus.
If I'm communicating my genuine belief that those who are not subject to racism can sometimes have blind spots or lack appreciation of what it feels to be on the receiving end of that, but
poor man.
That doesn't mean that they're not open to learning.
We can learn. Caring.
Caring about equality and justice, and that win them over because
Alone tells me why we're lucky to have Trump. The one thing we're not going to get is any more of these nauseating college lectures from this liar. You know, Mr. Obama, there's something that you should learn. Many years ago, I wrote a small pamphlet entitled The Death of the White Male, and in it, one of my lines was, without quality, there can be no equality. And boy, did you miss that lesson. You must have been out to lunch when that lesson was written. What do you mean, those who are not subject to racism? The number one target of racism today is the Christian, heterosexual, white male. As a result of your administration, you have targeted him. You have attacked the white, heterosexual, Christian male. You have caused the war on the police. You've caused the murder and deaths of police across America. And you have the nerve to go on the Comedy Channel and get up there like you're the oppressed minority? Unbelievable to me. So, you know, we're getting whipsawed. We had 8 years of this one, and now we wake up and we wanted something else, and I pray to God we're going to get it. After all, he's not president yet. We don't know what we're going to get yet. That's all. Now, I haven't talked yet about Tillerson, the pick for a Secretary of State. I know that on the face of it, I like ExxonMobil running the State Department. I think that's a step up from the pantsuit. I like a businessman running it. And, you know, he was an Eagle Scout, by the way. Mr. Tillerson was an Eagle Scout. That's tremendous. It's very hard to be an Eagle Scout. He was an Eagle Scout, and he's always an Eagle. So that's a good thing. And he's done business all over the world. That he's a friend of Putin is a great thing. So we won't have war with Russia. That's good. We don't want to see American boys and Russian boys dying. You know, we don't want to see that unless you're a part of the sorority that would like to see more of them die. I mean, I personally think enough died in World War II. We don't need to see them die again. But okay, I'm an old-fashioned kind of guy. I really don't want war with Russia. I know some of you do. Some of you neocons are still beating the war drums against Russia. Why don't you just enlist in the military and go on the front lines? Want to get us into another war. But that's the good stuff. The diehard cultural conservatives don't like Tillerson for two reasons. One, he supported, he was the head of the Boy Scouts of America, right? And while he was doing so, he permitted gay scoutmasters, I think, right? So they're holding that against him. That's something that they're never going to forget. Number two, there's something about the abortion thing. I think he supports, you know what I'm saying? So we don't know what we're going to get on the culture level. We know on a business level we're going to get a good businessman. On the culture level, we don't know. You know, so that's another one we can talk about. You could talk about something else. I'll take a call on something other than the rapper, if you don't mind. I introduced two other topics. The calls are still stuck on the rapper now. I introduced Bill Gates, no calls. I introduced Obama talking about racism, no calls. Introduced Tillerson for state, no calls. So, okay, go on. Let's take the calls. Let's go to New York City. WABC Terry, line 8, thank you for listening and calling from the heart of New York City. What's on your mind, Terry?
Hi, Dr. Savage. I'm a little nervous. I've wanted to talk to you for years. I'm a liberal who did not support Trump, but I did not have the antipathy for him that most liberals did, and thought that there might be a chance that he would be a good president, and I didn't really want more of the same. But I thought that underneath his brashness and the braggadocio, that actually beat a heart for America. But now I'm terrified, absolutely terrified of this man. I think that almost every appointment he's made, with a few exceptions, represent the exact opposite of what he said he was interested in doing for the country. I agree.
Well, let me stop right here. First of all, I appreciate your honesty that you say you're a liberal, but you say that you thought that he is heartbeat for America, but you as a liberal, whose heart did your heart beat for? Who did your heart beat for? Let me put it to you that way.
You'll shame me when I tell you, but I was for Bernie Sanders.
But you're telling me Bernie Sanders' heart beats for America?
I felt that it did.
You felt that it did? You actually fell for that con man from Brooklyn?
I did.
Are you saying that he wasn't for himself?
No, I actually felt that he was not. I've followed him for many years. He used to appear regularly on a radio program.
But Terry, listen to me. It's very easy to stir up the poor and the disenfranchised by saying that they're poor and disenfranchised because of the people who have something. Bernie Sanders is a classic baiter. He's a race baiter. He is. Don't you remember what he said about white people and racism? Didn't that scare you?
I actually don't recall that comment, no.
Well, he attacked the police regularly. Do you remember that?
I do, yes.
And you think the police deserve to be... You think the police deserve to be killed?
Oh, my husband was the police captain.
Well, that's amazing. How could you think... How could you vote for a man like Bernie Sanders who hated the police and used the police as a weapon to stir up minorities? How could you even think of that?
Well, believe it or not, my husband actually supported him, too.
Why would a police captain support Bernie Sanders?
Well, my husband was a very honored and honorable policeman. He never fired his gun except on the firing range.
So you mean that all of the police who were killed deserve to be killed?
No, of course we don't think that. But my husband was involved in training. He was involved in all aspects of police work, detective, internal affairs.
We don't know who your husband is. I'll have to take you on the face of it. Okay, so you were a Bernie Sanders supporter.
Right.
And now you're disappointed in Trump.
Very disappointed.
But you would have been disappointed with him no matter who he appointed.
No, I felt that I...
You say he's only for himself.
I do feel that, yes.
Well, who could he have appointed that would have made you feel otherwise? Well, you would have said he's a right-wing fascist if he had appointed a conservative.
I hadn't had any particular appointments in mind because I don't know the array of people he might have chosen.
All right, let me ask you this as a liberal who supported Bernie Sanders. Let's see. He's named two people so far that we know, or three. Secretary of Transportation is not a big deal. Ellen Chao. That was a payoff to Mitch McConnell. That was a straight out piece of nepotism, and I said so at the time. Do you agree with me on that?
I agree.
Okay, so that was nepotism. It was ugly. That was a payoff to Mitch McConnell. Number two, he then appointed Tillerson to Secretary of State. Who would you have chosen?
I don't necessarily disapprove of him. I'm a little nervous about the connections with Russia, but I know that he has connections with many other heads of state.
So do you believe that Putin manipulated the election? Are you one of those libs who believe in that conspiracy theory?
Well, I don't know if it had any effect, but I do think that there was Russian hacking.
Why do you think they're trying to stir up a war with Russia? You, as a liberal who love Bernie Sanders, do you want war with Russia?
I don't want war with anybody.
Why is it that the liberal establishment is now ginning up anger towards Russia and wants a war with Russia? What is wrong with them? Maybe you can explain it to me. Hello? Can you explain to me why they keep hammering this Russia thing? What are they trying to achieve?
Well, I agree with you on several points. My objection to some of his appointments, I don't agree with General Lind. I don't agree with the person he has appointed to health. I don't agree with...
Well, you don't like Dr. Carson running HHS? Why would you want that?
I like the other two generals.
Wait, hold it now. Dr. Ben Carson running HHS... He's a minority and a doctor, and a great doctor. How could you oppose that?
Well, I think he should have been Surgeon General.
Why? This is bigger than Surgeon General.
It makes more sense.
Surgeon General is a figurative appointment. It's like the Queen of England. It does nothing. The Surgeon General appears on a cigarette package. That's about all that it does. HHS actually makes policy. Do you know that Ben Carson is a pediatric neurosurgeon? Do you know that?
I do know about him. Yeah.
Do you know how hard it is to become a pediatric neurosurgeon?
Sure.
It's probably one of the most difficult of all of potential surgeons, that the most complex form of surgery has to be pediatric neurosurgery, and he is one. How could he be run down by liberals? Oh. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com. So, because I am straight up honest and truthful with my political beliefs, what can I tell you? I mean, you pay a price for it on many levels. And the day of the inauguration, I hope to be on the air, and I will auction off the unused umbrella that I was told by Donald Trump would be used during the inauguration. It'll be a very famous umbrella to add to your collection. I may auction it off on the air. There's a great stunt. Unused brand new umbrella that I had Trump on the show many times, and I said, I've still got that umbrella waiting. That was a closing line. And he kept saying, yeah, save it, you'll need it. Well, it's not going to be used at the inauguration, obviously, because I become, let us say, a thorn in the side of whoever's making these decisions in the RNC. And so I will auction off that umbrella, and all the funds will go to Wounded Warriors. Not that organization, but to a specific way of helping veterans who have been injured. That'll be on Inauguration Day. I'll be here, not in Washington, D.C., right on the air, auctioning off the umbrella that never was used.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage. Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, the Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, winner of the National Radio Hall of Fame Award, Michael Savage.
My general theory is that if I was clear in my own mind about who I was, comfortable in my own skin, and had clarity about the way in which race continues to be powerful factor in so many elements of our lives, but that it is not the only factor in so many aspects of our lives, that we have by no means overcome the legacies of slavery and Jim Crow and colonialism and racism, but that the progress we've made...
You get the picture. Aren't you who voted for this man embarrassed by what he's done? Doubling down on his racism and race warfare. Didn't he get elected because he said he would transcend race? Didn't he get elected because he said he would bring people together? Here he is after 8 years, sounding just like any stupid college teacher in America, pushing the same narrative of things that never affected them personally. Slavery, Jim Crow, colonialism, racism, colonialism, it may as well be a lecture coming out of NYU, Department of Ethnic Studies. Now, why would he be doing this? Why would he do it on Comedy Central? It's pretty obvious he's on Comedy Central because it's the only place left for him. But why would he be doing this now? And the answer is clear, because he needs a job after he's out of office or a book deal, whatever. He'd probably get, I would guess, a $40 million advance. Easy, a $40 million advance for the book he'd write. And who is he going to sell it to? But people who believe in this stuff. The lineup around the, you know, around the neighborhood. So that's number one. The other big issue is the rapper from the depths invited to the tower. We talked about that. The other big issue is Russia again. The other big issue is picking Mr. Tillerson for Secretary of State. And he's a great business leader. There's no question about it. And thank God he's Big Oil. I like Big Oil in the Secretary of State job. At least we won't have big wind coming out of San Francisco. Just think of what this is going to do to all the gangsters in San Francisco, Austin, Los Angeles, New York, and the green rackets. If you're a green racketeer and you've been making billions of dollars peddling the myth of global warming and selling cheap solar panels made in China, which produce very little electricity, just think of what it's going to do to your income. That we're back to Big Oil, drilling, offshore drilling, fracking, oil coming in from the tar sands of Alberta to be refined in Texas, to be refined, I think, in Mississippi. We don't have many refineries left, thanks to the environmental wackos. So this is a good thing. We're going to be energy free. We're probably going to be an energy exporter, which is wonderful. And the Arabs will start pounding sand again. What else is a big story? Vatican calls on priests to be highly sensitive to climate crisis. A real genius, the Pope. How could the bouncer know anything about the climate crisis? He lives in a bubble. The bouncer lives in a palace in the Vatican. The bouncer flies on Pope One, and yet he lectures on climate crisis. He's the Leon DiCaprio of the Catholic Church. And then we have top rhino stabbing Trump in the back in the form of Mitch McConnell. And you know, just hearing McConnell's voice, you know he's the biggest liar in the history of politics. Let's listen to clip six. This is a shocker. Here's Mitch McConnell, top Republican, saying he's going to join the Democrats in looking into the Russian hacking in clip six. You got to hear this one.
Obviously, any foreign breach of our cybersecurity measures is disturbing.
Wow. Get right up here. I got some snake oil to shut you out of here, Kentucky.
The Russians are not our friends.
No, Sherry Bob.
Invaded Crimea.
Here we go.
Senator McCain and I and some of our Democratic friends
met with the
delegation of the Baltic countries.
Here we go
just
now.
This past week.
I'm
nervous about the Russians
up here for a big BS job.
And I think we ought to approach all of these issues on the assumption that the Russians do not wish us well.
No, sorry, Bob. Mr. Cole, please step forth and sell us some of your malacca. How much money do you think these people have invested in the defense contracting industry? Quite a bit, I would imagine. McCain, of course, never met a war he didn't like. And he wants war with Russia. So there we got the Republican establishment wanting to start a Cold War again with Russia, which Obama did a very good job on. And that's another topic. Bill Gates going into the tower, coming out saying that Trump is JFK. Knowing probably that he won't have his company broken up under antitrust legislation. In fact, I would think that under Donald Trump, there'll be no antitrust division. That's what I think is coming. Maybe he'll dissolve the antitrust division. instead of dissolving the Civil Rights Division, which is what we thought was necessary, he'll dissolve the Antitrust Division. That might be good. So we can talk about these topics, the rhinos, the Vatican, the rapper in the tower going in for the meds. I would have think it would have been a security risk. I don't know how the Secret Service let him in there. The guy just came out of a bug house. From the bug house to the tower in one jump? Wouldn't you think that if a rapper goes into a bug house and comes, he's a little security threat? How did he clear the Secret Service so fast? He could have pulled out a rusty guitar string or something. I don't know. I wouldn't have let him in there. Maybe a phone call to the nut house, to the ward. Anyway, it's a crazy... You know, look, I could say this. It's going to be very good for talk radio the next year, but the direction we're going in. For those of you who are afraid Trump was going to bring back the Mormon Tabernacle Choir, I think you can put that one to rest. I mean, think about that. All you libs, you thought that he was going to bring back straight white America, right? You thought him and Pence were like a return to life with Father, and it was going to be you know, the Mormon Tabernacle Choir at the inauguration, and it was going to be like Christmas cards and carols. You know, everything that you feared and hated about America that we all love, forget about it. That's not happening. Not at all. So you don't have anything to worry about with this administration. It's going to be like a continuation of Obama, it looks like to me, in the on the cultural level. Business, yes. We'll have economic recovery, booming economy, and that's a good thing. We may have more security. I'm not sure, though. I'm starting to read more about these appointments. I'm not so sure that they're as good as I thought. You know, what's his name? The guy who made defense secretary. The more I read about the guy, I'm not so sure about him now. Mattis. I was 100% for him, but apparently the guy has got some things going there that are a little worrisome. I don't know where this is going to end up, but we all know that it's not what we thought it was going to be, left or right. None of us know what's happening. WABC, John, what's your topic? Go ahead, please.
Yeah, how you doing, Mike? I'm John. I'm a union construction worker. I vote Democrat, as my union wants me to do. I voted for Obama the last two times, and I can't help but feel that in the last 2 years, maybe a year and a half, and I don't know how to say politically correct, and believe me, I'm not a racist. I have many black friends. We had black couples over our house for Thanksgiving. We're going to have them over for Christmas. But this guy really seemed to let his black out, you know?
Who are we talking about? You're talking about Obama seems to be becoming more radical?
I don't know. Maybe he just realizes that he's not going to be the president no more, and he wants to assimilate more with them, you know, and let them know that he's one of the boys. I don't know, you know. And
but when he was the least racist candidate that I've ever seen. How has he become so racially insensitive as he's gone on in these 8 years?
Mike, can you tell me that you honestly haven't heard the tone in his voice change the last year and a half?
Who? Are we talking about Obama or Trump?
Obama.
And what? Which way is his tone gone? From who to what?
Gone to, you know, letting you know his fellow, you know, African-Americans know that he's one of them. That he has...
Okay, so he's trying to line up support for his post-presidential life.
I believe,
and he knows which way the wind blows and where his support lies. He knows that he's got to do something to make a buck after he's out of office. Got to make a living somehow. So what better way than to stir up racism? It's a tried and true methodology. It worked for him before. Look how far it's gotten him. He became president riding that pony. So why should he stop now? Let me ask you something. What you voted for who on this election?
I voted for Trump, and me and a bunch of guys against my union, we can't take it no more because the Democrats do not have our best interest at hand.
All right, but are you happy so far with Trump's meetings and appointments? Let me ask you that.
See, Trump builds union because he knows that he can get top dollar for having...
No, but that's not what I asked you. I'm asking, Trump is a builder. He's a fine builder. I said that during the campaign. I'll say it again. And he had to work with all kinds of people in New York. That's to his credit. But since he has been nominated and then won, are you happy with his choices and with his meetings so far?
Mike, can I be honest? If he's not doing a good job after 4 years, we vote the bum out.
Okay, so you're taking a long view. which is this doesn't really matter what he's doing now. What matters is after he's sworn in what he does, right?
Well, honestly, tell you the truth, I as soon as this guy announced his that he was running for president, I called everyone. I knew it was a long shot. I called my mother, my father, my friends. I was all gung-ho. Believe me, I got a Make America Great Again sticker on my helmet.
All right, so you voted for Trump, but I'm asking you, are you happy with him so far?
Yeah, kind of.
How do you feel about Kanye West coming into the tower?
I can't stand it. Disturbs me. I don't know, maybe he's...
I mean, come on. You like the lyrics? Have you heard any of the lyrics that this dirtbag sings?
Yes, I do.
It's pornography coming out of a filthy mouth.
Oh, Mike, I watched...
It's the coming out of a dirt mouth like a deranged psychotic would sing a song like this. What is he doing?
Today, when they break down all the news for the day. He was the first one they talked about. Him.
You know, it's a big... Why do you think I'm talking about it? I'm frankly stunned by this.
Believe me, man. If I were you, man, normal America, we'd separate. This guy would have never been even able to get into Manhattan.
All right, so we're all disturbed by having the dirtbag in the tower, but people are saying it's smart because it's going to subdue some of the opponents of Mr. Trump by having a representation of that mentality into the tower. So it's like a political move. All right, John, thank you for listening on ABC in New York. It is now 17, 18 minutes after the hour. What do you think of the Kardashians in the White House? Do you believe we're losing the culture war? Will McConnell and Ryan help or block Trump's agenda? Did Trump pick the right man for Secretary of State? What's wrong with Exxon? Those are some of the topics. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com. I had a little lunch during the break. I actually lost my lunch listening to this gibberish insanity. It's what's causing the cultural meltdown, is brainwashing the children with this filth. So who's next? Then you'll say, well, he's a genius, and he's playing triple chess. What if you saw Anthony Weiner going into the tower and a hug, and he says he's a friend of his that he needed to help? You take care of yourself now. Would you? Al Sharpton, Robert De Niro. Maybe Louis Farrakhan will be seen going into the tower in a day or two, for Christmas, or for Kwanzaa, I don't know. David Duke could come into the tower. Harvey Weinstein could be giving a quick visit. Ratzenberg could be giving a quick tour of the tower. There's not enough marble in L.A., after all. You got to come see the marble there. Who's next? It's all a joke. At this point, you have to see it as entertainment. The whole thing is a reality show at this point. And that's it. We the deplorables. You know, we thought there'd be a wall, and there's no wall. It's an idea. We thought to be a cultural change. I'm not saying Guy Lombardo type of music, or, as I said before, I didn't expect the Mormon Tabernacle Choir to entertain at the inauguration. But if this dirtbag entertains, I'm out. I'm sorry. Out. Gone. Finished. Gone. I don't understand this. I don't understand who is behind all of this. Who is driving this? When you see McConnell lining up with the Democrats, saying he will join them in investigating whether Russia hacked the election, you know that the Republicans are trying to undermine Trump and make him either a crippled president before he begins, to make him almost a lame duck president so they can do whatever they want for 8 years, or let's say 4 years, because they can't wait for him to be gone already. The rhinos would be much happier if Hillary Clinton had won. Don't you get it? They don't want an independent president. So guys like McConnell, Mr. Cole, and I'm talking about the Koch brothers. I can never pronounce their name. If I pronounce it right, it sounds like I'm saying something dirty. Some people have names you can't do anything with. You know, the K-O-C-H brothers, no matter what I do, it comes out wrong. You say it one way, it sounds like you're cursing. You say it another way, it sounds like you're talking about a drug. Those guys. See, you don't know what to say about them. The K brothers. I don't know what to say about them. But, you know, who's driving this thing? I don't know who's driving this whole picture. Who is behind the whole campaign strategy now? I love the people who came along 2 months before he was elected. They're taking credit for having elected him. It's beyond comprehension. Doesn't someone understand that they're Johnny-come-latelys who had nothing to do with getting him elected? And now they're riding in like they were the geniuses who orchestrated this whole thing. How do they not understand this if they're so smart? Who is driving the Trump transition team is what I'd like to know. Is it Mitch McConnell? I don't know who's driving it. I don't know. Is there a secret person somewhere? Is a room somewhere in the tower that some mad genius is deriving? I don't understand this whole. It makes no sense. I'm a man who likes order. Ever since I've been a little boy, I've craved order. My whole life is based on order. I despise chaos. I like an orderly life. That's how I've gotten where I am in life, by ordering things, putting them in place. Ever since I've been a little boy, I had things in order. I had two pair of shoes. Every night before I go to sleep, I'd line them up underneath my little bed in the Bronx. One pair, two pair. I'd shine them. I know it sounds sick to people who are deranged. Oh, a little boy shined his shoes. Because they were shoes. They were my shoes. So I shined them. I put them up under the bed on my own. I wanted them to look. I like things in their place. Why is my world becoming more and more, like, deranged every day? How could I wake up to another shock like this tomorrow? Who's going to go into the tower tomorrow? And I'll be told that I'm wrong for saying anything about Anthony Weiner, seen in the tower. Trump puts his arm around and says, there, there, take care of yourself now. I've known Anthony all my life. He's not a bad guy. Where does this end? I don't know. Who's next? Who possibly could be? Louis Farrakhan goes in on Thursday. And Trump comes down with a fez. I don't know what's going to be next. It's a shock. I'll be back in a minute.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282.
I don't mind Hollywood in the tower. I mean, bring in people from Hollywood like Mel Gibson, who just did Hacksaw Ridge. Bring in somebody who did Lone Survivor. Bring in someone who did a movie that's patriotic. But to bring in the opposite of everything that the voters wanted and be seen with him and embrace him? Oh, you meet a guy like that? Meet him in private. Have him up there. What was the public saying about? I understand, because he's reaching out to the idiots out there so they won't hate him. Okay, I accept it. That doesn't mean I have to like it, and I'm not allowed to talk about it when I'm supposed to sit here like a dummy now for 4 years and not say a word. Look, let me tell you something. Donald Trump was on this show many times. It's not like I need him on the show. I did what I wanted to do, which was stop Hillary. That alone makes me happy. Trump visited us with the greatest honor, if you remember. Do you remember the day of the election, what he did? He came on this show because he needed those few votes to get over the finish line. You think they don't know who you are? You think they don't remember you? You're wrong. They know who you are. They know that you put him over the finish line because he came on this show and asked you to vote for him on that critical day, if you remember. Let's listen in for a few minutes. Donald Trump and the Savage Nation, just to show you, he knows who you are. Donald, thank you so much for being with us today, this election day. What is going on? Do you have any initial results out there?
Well, we're just hearing very good things, Michael. We're hearing tremendous numbers in New Hampshire, in Ohio, in Iowa. I think we're going to surprise people very gravely in I mean, it's going to be an amazing surprise, I think, in Pennsylvania. We have some terrific numbers. I think Florida is going to be a lot of people voting in Florida, that I can tell you. But
yeah,
a lot of people. It's really been, I think it's going to be an amazing evening.
Donald, you know, we're getting calls on the show today in this first hour with people. I asked them what they would like to say to you. And overwhelmingly, they're saying, win, lose, or draw, you've already done the country a great service. You have changed the national conversation, Donald. You know that, don't you?
Well, I really appreciate it. I've had thank yous from so many people. You know, it's a vicious business. I used to think real estate was vicious. real estate people are like soft people compared to these, you know, with for the last year and a half. I can just imagine.
So after this election, first of all, Donald, I want to thank you personally for showing your loyalty to me personally. I know that you're not doing a lot of national radio shows today. I know you wanted to come on to the Savage Nation because in many ways we had you on before anyone else did on a regular basis, and I know your loyalty is very important to you. I told the people that you're the most loyal politician I've ever encountered in this business. So again, I want to thank you for that, period.
Well, thank you, Michael, and you've been loyal also, and I did want to do your show, and I have done very, very little today because, you know, I'm sort of sitting back and seeing what happens. I've gone through a marathon of speeches in front of these massive crowds for the last week, and, you know, I just think the results are going to be very interesting. I think it's going to be a very interesting night, and I think it's going to be a very good night for television because they're going to get very big ratings tonight, that I can tell you.
Donald, what is the greatest lesson you have learned from this horrible campaign?
Well, I think I've learned two things. Tremendous people that we have in this country. Tremendous people with tremendous potential. And, you know, people that are really, you know, if you would have told me, I've gone through all corners of the country, and we just have people that are absolutely incredible people. Also, likewise, incredible dishonesty within us. Total dishonesty. And
no, we saw this thing with Wolf Blitzer feeding questions back and forth with John Podesta. It's beyond. It's everything that we feared and worse, Mr. Trump.
And, you know, Hillary getting the questions for debates, and but so many other things. I mean, you see the relationship with some of these folks and the, you know, I mean, it's incredible that with the Democratic Party and what's going on between the party, that party, and the press. And it's so dishonest. It's so terrible.
Well, Donald, let me ask you this. Let's say you don't win. I hope you do, but let's say you don't. Would you be called upon by the Republican machine to bring the party back together? Will they actually reach out to you, do you think?
Well, that I don't know. I can tell you this. We've brought millions and millions of new
yep.
people and great people. These are great people into the party.
Right.
We got more votes. I got more votes. And I sort of say we because it's really we as far as I'm concerned. But we've gotten more votes than anybody in the history of the Republican Party going all the way back to Honest Abe Lincoln. I mean, more than anybody. And, you know, it's been 14.5 million votes, 42 states. Nobody's, you know, done anything like this. And we had 17 people, don't forget. It wasn't like I was
competing
against one person. That's with 17 people. So we brought millions of people into the party. They're great people. In many cases, they're not in all cases, but in many cases, I call them, they're the forgotten men and women. These are great people that have been forgotten. And they're hardworking. They're very, very smart. And they feel let down by their politicians and let down by their country. And, you know, I think you're going to see, that's why the lines, I don't know if you've heard today, Michael, but the lines virtually in every location throughout, no matter where, North Carolina, you go to Texas, you go to anywhere you want to go. I can say up in New Hampshire, I just got a call, a friend of mine, he said he's been doing this for 30 years and he's never seen lines like it. The lines are blocks and blocks long.
Well, you have activated the sleeping giant, and even if she should steal the election, those are my words, not yours, she's going to have to deal with all of these millions of people who have been activated by you and your campaign. Donald, in these last hours, what is your message to the people of America, all the people of America?
Well, we have to do things to help the people. You know, the people are great, but they're really being hurt. Obamacare is a disaster. It's just, I mean, we can talk about the military is depleted, and we can talk about security and safety, and everybody knows that. And we need strong borders, and we have to be very careful with our immigration policies. We need vetting and all of that. It's so badly. That's why I ran. Our trade deals are horrible. But, Michael, Obamacare is killing people. It's killing families. It is such a disaster, and we have to repeal it and replace it. Businesses are getting absolutely killed by Obamacare. They can't expand, and in fact, in many cases, they go out of business. And this is something that's been happening for a long time, but for some reason, maybe it was because of me, maybe I was able to bring it out the last month or 2 months, but Obamacare, it has to be repealed and replaced. It's hurting people horribly.
But look, even if she wins, for whatever the reason, she cannot be the same president she would have been without you running this campaign. She's certainly not stupid. She's come to see that a good percentage of the American people want something other than the radical progressive agenda. And you've done that, Donald. You've changed the national dialogue. You've changed the course of human history.
Well, you know, they say that politics in this country will never be the same because of what's happened. And it has been a movement like has never been seen in the country. Even your very dear friend Bill O'Reilly said it's the greatest political phenomenon.
I see you had a little backroom conversation with Big Bill.
I know, but he did say that, and he, you know, and many other people have said it. That
I don't know why he doesn't like me. I never met the guy. I only called him a leprechaun once. I don't know what he's so mad about. He should have a different sense of humor. Hey, Donald, Thanksgiving is coming up. I think I may be down your part of the world for Thanksgiving turkey. You think you're going to be at the club?
I hope so. It depends on what happens. I can tell you if I win, I'll be working.
Yeah.
And otherwise I'll be working, but I'll be working, I guess, in a different form. But it's been such an honor to be involved, and the people of this country are truly great. I mean, honestly, and you see it and you feel it, and you're on the show all the time with them, you understand. But when you go and visit these sections of the country and you see how incredible the people of this country are, you'd be very proud. It's really incredible.
Well, Donald, in conclusion, because I don't know that we're going to speak again, certainly we're not going to speak again before this election is over. It's been a great honor for me to have had you on the show since the year 2011. If you win, I will know in my own heart I had something to do with it. And even if you don't win, I know that we've changed America together. And I got to say this, you're the greatest warrior I have seen fighting for the American people. Nobody in my lifetime has reflected on the average working person the way you have. And even though you came from a different socioeconomic background, for whatever the reasons are, you resonate with the average person out there who's killing themselves to make America great and to make their family great, and they don't know which way to turn because they've been sold down the river by both parties. You changed all of that, Donald, and I only hope that the change is for the better.
Well, Michael, that's one of the nicest things that's been said about me. I mean, I really appreciate it, and I feel very proud to have been involved, and I think we have helped things, and maybe we win. You know, the results, I don't know if you're hearing, but the very, very early numbers are looking pretty good out in Michigan.
Yeah, I see on the Drudge Report, Trump plus in Arizona, Georgia, Iowa, North Carolina, and Ohio. Oh, you're doing very well. I mean, I can see you just might win.
Well, if I do, people are going to be very happy. And, you know, I base a lot of what I say on common sense. We're a country, we don't have any common sense in our leadership. And, you know, we talk about brain power, we talk about all of the things, but we don't even have common sense. You make a deal like the Iran deal, where we give them $150 billion and everything else. We give them $1.7 billion in cash, and then they torment us or they feel emboldened. I mean, we don't have common sense aside from everything else. And, you know, I'd love to help out. I'd love to keep it going. We're going to see what happens. But you are a great, great gentleman and a great talent. People love your show and they love you. And you have been so loyal also. And I appreciate it very much, Michael.
Donald, I think it's the air coming off Cunningham Park that we both breathed as young boys that gave us common sense. That's what I think. I think the air was purified by the trees in Cunningham Park in Queens. Donald, good luck. Good luck tonight. I pray to God that the right thing happens. In either case, it's been a big change in my life to have known you, and I hope I continue to know you after the election one way or the other.
Michael, thank you very much. Thank you very much.
So there it is. He was on the show. That was the day of the election, and he sounded a little downtrodden. People said to me he sounded defeated, by the way. I said, oh, no. He didn't sound defeated to me. He sounded somber. He didn't sound defeated. Remember that? We had that discussion. And the reason I played it for you is to say thank you to Donald Trump for remembering the power of the Savage Nation and how the people in the Savage Nation responded to his message. And I have to say, going back to the show of today, that I'm surprised by some of the individuals who he is embracing. Now, you could say he's smart and he's embracing them for obvious reasons, which is to gain the other side on his side. And that it makes perfect sense if you are trying to create a coalition in America rather than simply the people who voted for you. Because remember, he didn't win by popular vote, so he's got enormous number of people out there to sway over to his side. So that's why you would say he was bringing in the Kardashian mentality to the tower. So, I mean, it doesn't please me. It makes me a little crazy, to be honest with you. I can't understand it. But I'm not a politician. That's why I could never, ever, ever run for office. I can't pretend to like people that I can't stand. Let me put it to you that way. Now we got the Russia business again. Why are the neocons wanting war with Russia? Why does the media, which claims to be anti-war and liberal, why are they trying to push war with Russia? Why? Why is Obama still pushing the narrative of slavery, Jim Crow, colonialism, and racism? Why? I think you could pretty much figure out the answer to those questions. And we'll take those calls the minute I return right here on the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com. Okay, so Silicon Valley is riding up in the Trump Tower on Wednesday. They're taking the ride up on Wednesday. They put him down, call him every name under the sun. There's Microsoft. I remember who they are. They hated him. They did everything they could to undermine him. They're in the elevator on Wednesday. And we're going to see what happens on Wednesday when they come back. I know what they want. We know what they want. No regulation. They don't want any recrimination. They don't want the Justice Department under Trump to break their companies up on their antitrust actions, which should be done, in my estimation, for obvious reasons. They are absolutely monopolies. Can anyone listening to this program tell me I'm wrong? I don't understand what's wrong with some of the people who don't understand what the antitrust division is supposed to do. What is the antitrust division of the Justice Department supposed to do? It's supposed to prevent monopolies from occurring, which inhibit competition. Can anyone listening to the show tell me that Google is not a monopoly? How about Microsoft? Is it not a monopoly? That's why when Bill Gates went up to the tower, he came out saying, singing the praises of Trump. Trump is JFK now. Before that, he was the devil. Now he's JFK. Why? Because he's afraid of him. They're going to come down on the tower and what? Well, what's Undershirt going to say on Wednesday? I can't wait to hear what Undershirt says. And the Russia question is bizarre. Why are all the liberals who are anti-war, anti-gun, anti-military, stirring up war with Russia? What do they not think through what they're doing? How does this end? Tell me how it ends well for the world if you stir up a war with Russia. First of all, they're not going to achieve it. That's number one. But what do you think they're trying to do? Now you tell me, the intelligence agencies. Who are the intelligence agencies? Three or four men who are under the thumb of Obama, some of whom have converted to Islam, according to all reports. They're putting out the false narrative that Putin is worse than ISIS. Putin is the devil. Why are they doing it? Because Obama still has a grudge for Putin, by the way. Obama is still president. Obama still hates Putin. Still wants to see Putin's nose smeared in the dirt. And so he has the four stooges who run the intelligence agencies come up with this nonsense. Everyone says, where's the proof? And there is no proof. But it doesn't prevent the grannies in the anti-war movement to suddenly jumping on the bandwagon. Oh, Russia banned. The same old yentas in Mill Valley, California were marching against guns the other day. Now they're marching for war with Russia. Okay, my friends, some things don't make sense other than this. If you plug this into these questions, the answer becomes clear to you. When things don't make sense, just say, I don't understand it. Then you say, wait a minute. Liberalism is a mental disorder. And the minute you say that, a light bulb goes off and all makes sense. It falls into place. That's all. All right, my friends, lots to talk about. It's not going to end tomorrow and tomorrow and tomorrow and back in a moment right here on the Scorched Earth Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, winner of the National Radio Hall of Fame Award, Michael Savage.
We thought it was over. The drug dealer Jay-Z was the White House rapper of choice by Barack Obama, and now we have a new one, a replacement. So here are some of the news stories. Attorney General Lynch visits Virginia Mosque amid a spike in so-called anti-Muslim hate crimes. Again, pushing the narrative. Jihadis of the Caribbean. Country with the highest rate of ISIS recruits in the Western Hemisphere is Trinidad. I noticed that last year when I was down in St. Thomas and in the British Virgin Islands. Yeah, I saw a lot of mosques up there. Interesting. Globalist business leaders pile on pressure for open borders. No kidding. They want open borders. It's for humanity, the open borders. Well, we'll have to see if we're going to get a wall or we're just going to get a nothing. Record numbers of children claiming to be wrong gender. In England, children are ringing an emergency helpline in record numbers to say they're the wrong gender. See what you do to children when you confuse them? The National Society for the Prevention of Cruelty to Children says it held an average 8 telephone counseling sessions per day in 2015-16 with children who believe they were the wrong gender. As transgenderism becomes increasingly prominent in the mainstream media and liberal culture, and universities adopt gender-neutral speech codes to avoid offending people, an increasing number of children are questioning their gender. The figures reported in the Times show the number of gender-based counseling sessions has more than doubled since Childline first began recording data in 2013. So in other words, if you take children who are unformed and you tell them they don't know what they are, first of all, children don't know what their gender is, incidentally. So if you tell them they don't know what their gender is, you'll confuse them, and they'll wind up calling a helpline. Next thing you know, they'll offer surgery to these poor children because of the psychos running these things. Here's another one for those of you who are interested in cultural issues. University of Pennsylvania students replace Shakespeare portrait with a black feminist in the English department because of diversity. Now, no one knows whether the black feminist author whose picture they put up there is more brilliant than Shakespeare. What's important is that it represents an affirmative action picture on the wall. Students at River Pennsylvania removed a portrait of Shakespeare from a prominent location in the school's English department after complaining it did not represent a diverse range of writers. Now, wait a minute. Hold it. Stop the music. What do you mean didn't represent a diverse range of writers? That would be like taking down a picture of Thomas Edison in the electrical engineering department and saying he didn't represent a diverse range of writers. What are you people, stupid? Crazy? Dumb? What is this about? The chair of the English department confirmed that the portrait was stripped from the wall by his students as a way of affirming their commitment to a more inclusive mission for the English department. I thought the mission of the English department is to teach people how to read English, write English, and speak English, but no. If you listen to the lyrics of A Man Who Was Just Seen in a Tower, you'll see that the opposite is true. Terrific, right? No, keep going. I want to hear Kanye West. If you see him in the streets, give him Kanye's best. Why? They mad they ain't famous. They mad they still nameless. They mad. That's good. That's English. There's English literature for you. You don't need Beethoven. You need Kanye West in the music department. No, I think they should take down pictures of Beethoven, Chopin, Tchaikovsky. Any of them should be taken down. You should put up pictures of people who have lyrics like this, because after all, that would affirm your commitment to a more inclusive mission for the music department. And any such thing would make people feel better because you show a diverse range of musicians and composers. Time to get rid of those dead white males like Shakespeare and Beethoven, right? Or wrong? WBOB in Florida. Rita, you've been holding a long time. Are you still there? Rita, go ahead. You're on the Savage Nation.
Thank you so much, Dr. Savage. It's an honor to be talking to you today. It's disgusting that Trump would even entertain talking to Kanye West. His music is literally verbal porn, and that's what's wrong with our youth today.
It is verbal pornography. That is correct. I cannot even read the lyrics that this sicko sings, the one who just came out of a nut house.
His clothes, the life of Pablo, looks like rats chew through them, and only stupid rich people and stupid poor people buy them.
I don't understand what they're thinking. I mean, people have said it's very brilliant of Trump to have this dirtbag into the lobby because this way he's going to diminish the opposition to him from people who buy his music and listen to it. Maybe they're right. So in other words, let's say that is true. Does that still mean you're seen face to face with a man like this?
I'm sorry. Say that again.
No, I appreciate the call. I think we've beaten this to death. That's enough about the Kardashians in the White House. I thought that they were going to sterilize, I mean, to clean the place up. I thought that when Mrs. Trump got in there, they changed the curtains, they take it down to the studs. And that was a metaphor, that they were going to clean it up culturally. But I wake up to this, I don't know what's coming tomorrow. Who's going in tomorrow to the tower? Who am I going to wake up to tomorrow? Anthony Weiner hugged in lobby of tower. And he says, you take care now. I don't know who's next. Thursday, David Duke. You take care now, David. I hear you've had problems. Friday, just before sundown, Harvey Weinstein comes in. You take care now, Harvey. I've heard you had problems on New Year's Eve where you're crying to friends on the telephone because you're lonely and no one wants to talk to you because you're such a wonderful personality. You take care now, Harvey. We love you. We don't know where this is going to go. I mean, it's good for talk radio. That's all. It's good that Gates goes in. KLIF, Dallas, Texas. Alice, line 5. Go ahead, please. What's on your mind?
Well, as a huge Trump supporter and someone who is working like you to make sure that Hillary didn't get elected, I am extremely disappointed in people visiting the White House and some of these appointments. Of course, I would be against Conway West, but as a mom who's been fighting against Common Core for the last 5 years, the fact that Bill Gates was in Trump's towers is completely a slap in the face, as is Betsy DeVos as the Secretary of Education.
Why don't you explain to my audience once and for all what it is, what is Common Core? I've written about it, but explain to them in a few words, what is Common Core education and why do you oppose it?
Common Core is a philosophy of education. It is not a set of national, or it's a set of standards, but it's more importantly a shift away from teaching our kids academics, reading, writing, math, and history, to attitudes, values, beliefs, behaviors, and changing the next generation's worldview. And when you look at legislation that the Congress has passed, there's a reason why they had to pass the Every Student Succeeds Act.
I still don't understand it is, what are they teaching the children with Common Core? What's the goal? What's the outcome?
Well, there's two outcomes. One of them is an access point to reach children to collect data on them. And when they collect data, it's not so that they know who my kid is in particular. So that they can start creating software programs. That's why Bill Gates likes it. Create software programs that do adaptive assessments where they're modifying the child's behavior during those assessments that the teacher many times and the parents know nothing about.
So what is it that you fear about Common Core? What is the big deal about it? The average person who doesn't know much about it doesn't even understand what the fear is.
The fear is that they have access to my child's mind, and it's a computer. The next phase of Common Core is competency-based personalized learning, and when I say personalized learning, I don't mean a teacher in a classroom who's giving my child personal attention. It's a computer program that's tracking my child, and for instance...
Well, what are they molding the child to think? Where are they driving them? What do they want them to think about? We're all one humanity, everyone's equal, give drug dealers a chance, there should be no borders. Is that what you fear?
Well, it's globalism is one part of it. You're no longer an American citizen who lives in a global economy. You're a global citizen who just happens to live in America.
All right, so it's teaching more of the same rubbish that Obama preached for 8 straight years.
Exactly. And part of the challenge...
I would assume they teach the false myth about man-made global warming, the Earth is coming to an end, the Antarctic ice shelf is melting, we're all going to drown, stuff like that.
Yes, and teachers are no longer trained to teach a subject, like you were talking about teaching English, teaching math. They're trained to use creativity, collaboration, critical thinking, all of these things that together change the way teachers are teaching in the classroom, and it's not academics. It's not.
Well, you know, look, I'm a former teacher. I can't say that the academic teaching methodology is foolproof. I think most of it is very difficult for the teacher and the student. So I don't mind change in teaching. I think that the standard testing is horrible. But I still don't know what it is about Common Core that worries the opponents of Common Core. I believe it's a tilt towards a loss of individuality, a loss of nationality, and a loss of cultural identity is what I'm hearing. Is that correct?
It is, but it's also a dumbing down. It's all that you do.
So what is the alternative to Common Core? If you had the choice, if you were education secretary, what would you like see done with our school systems?
I would like to see academics brought back into the classroom that is developmentally appropriate. What gave us...
Oh, you mean not replacing a picture of Shakespeare in English departments at a university with let's say, a black feminist writer who no one ever heard of? Because it, you know, what do they want to do here is the end of the thing, right? Alice, we're running short of time, but I really appreciate your concern and your passion for the American child. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com. Well, let's look at the big picture from Michael Savage. When I wrote Government Zero, I said, what do radical Islamists, junk science, failing schools, and a phony economic recovery have in common? At the time I wrote, ISIS threatens the world as they rage through the Middle East and recruit Americans online. American cities are in turmoil, and the American economy teeters on the edge of disaster. Savage says that the media won't tell you the truth. Americans face the most dangerous, uncertain future they face for generations. Okay, Government Zero. The plaque is on the wall. Fabulous book. And then I wrote Scorched Earth. And I encourage you to vote against what her name is. Hillary Clinton. I forgot her name already. She's become so irrelevant. She's off the radar. Okay, we voted against her. He won by a hair, not by the popular vote, but we'll find out next week, I guess. I hope to God the Electoral College doesn't become crazy. You know, I was shocked this morning to read that Nancy Pelosi's daughter is an elector. How is that possible? Where'd that come from? Is Harvey Weinstein's daughter an elector, too? And does Robert De Niro have a son who's an elector? Louis Farrakhan? Does Al Sharpton have a daughter who's an elector? Anthony Weiner have a daughter who's an elector? How did Pelosi's daughter suddenly become an elector who wants to take the presidency away from Trump? But the big story is that we stopped this madness, possibly for good. And yet we wake up and there's Obama giving a farewell. USA still hasn't overcome slavery, Jim Crow, colonialism, and racism. Maybe that's the last we'll hear of this rubbish, because Hillary is not going to be lecturing us anymore from the bully pulpit of the presidency, and that's a good thing. And he appointed a strong man to be in the Defense Department. I'm not 100% sure the man's credentials right now, given some of the things he has said about Israel, given some of the things Mattis has said on other issues. Let's see if the Defense Department becomes less crazy on the Mattis. National security, terrific that we have Mr. Flynn in a great department, another general. See, these are good things. It's on the cultural level that I'm getting disturbed. When I see the culture war taking a turn for the worse, as I did today, that's what got to me. Then when I see this business with the Republicans stabbing him in the back, I get very concerned. Joe on WABC, thanks for holding. Live or dead? Okay, next. A guy just, I don't know, that's a great call screener out there I got. WGDJ in New York. Chris, line two, go ahead, please.
Yeah, Michael, first thing, your previous caller with the Common Core, I agree with it. I fight with my school up here in New York all the time. It's rubbish. Parents need to start with their children, and you are educating us all. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
Yeah, but what is it about Common Core that you're afraid of?
It's cookie-cutter education. I live in upstate. It's a conservative, rural town. And they...
All right, well, let me move on to Trump. Are you happy with Trump's appointments and Trump's associations thus far?
I am not happy with everything, no. But we need to think back. See, Michael, you educate your listeners so well that I think you need to listen to us. Do you remember when Comey came out and said that, oh, we're going to reopen the Hillary investigation and all this stuff? You had a woman call you and say, Michael, don't believe it. It's rubbish. Just before the election, Comey's going to get on, and he's going to say, nope, she's clear. Everybody vote for her. She's clean. And it's exactly what happened. I believe that...
No, I was the one who said that. I said it was a setup.
No, you had a caller that sounded...
I'll find the tape. I said it was a setup by Comey to say, oh, we're having an investigation, and say, oh, she's clear, she's great. But then he did something weird. He did it again, remember? Where is Comey today? Do you think Donald Trump will reappoint Comey or pick someone new?
He'll pick somebody new. He's doing this smart, Michael. He's got to get in. He's letting all these people come over like little leeches and get on him.
Well, that's one theory as to why he's bringing in the opposition to the tower. So I can't say I agree with the theory. I can say if it is a theory and it's operational and it tends to... mitigate against some of the actions of the left? Fine.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now. 855-400-SAVAGE. 855-400-7282. Savage.
I mean, I don't know where this ends. I don't know how this ends. I understand how brilliant he is. I know how smart he is. I know he's outsmarting everyone. He's playing electronic chess while us dummies are playing backgammon. Toothless dummies who put him in power. We're just too stupid to see how smart this is. Now, someone has written me, who I respect very much, who said, I'll read it exactly, because some people are very smart. I can't even paraphrase what they say. If this rapper makes black people calm down from their anti-white hatred and get behind Trump, then he is a useful idiot, and Trump is smart to use him. That's all. That's all. I don't see it that way. I'm sorry. I believe that this is melting the culture down to a level that I could not believe it would be melted down to. I believe he's alienating the core Republican base that put this... I believe he's alienating the core base that elected him. Let's put it to you that way. Now you say, oh, well, you're mad because he didn't do this, he didn't do that. I don't need anything, I don't want anything. Let me be very clear to you. The only thing I ever thought I might ask him for, and I'll say it to you right now on this radio show... The only thing in the back of my mind that I thought I would ever ask Trump for, which is off the table, would be to get my name off that banned list in England because I never belonged there to begin with. But let me tell you something. The new Prime Minister of England is Theresa May. She was Foreign Secretary when I was put on that list. There's no chance that she would ever take me off that list because she's a left-wing fanatic. That's number one. And number two, I don't think that Trump would care one way or the other. There's nothing in it for him. And number three, I don't need to go there for the fish and chips and the dental work. I mean, if I want bad dental care, I could have it right here near my house. I've gotten it in the last few weeks. Now, there are rumors that people are wagging their tongues over Trump inviting this low-life rapper, Vermin, to the Trump Tower. And I wouldn't be that alarmed. We have rumors that his psychiatrist's office is actually in the Trump Tower. And that he was going there to renew his prescription for the meds, having just come out of the nut house. But the issue is, what happened to the culture war, stupid? Do you think Trump meeting with Kanye West matters? I do. Gives him the honor of actually escorting him personally out of the building. Now, this does matter because we thought that with the election of Donald Trump, we might just get the culture back on course. Wasn't it about Make America Great Again? Doesn't that mean getting back to standards, morals, faith that built the nation? Now, Obama, as you know, deranged the nation, degraded the White House, welcomed the former drug dealer Jay-Z into the White House, debased himself with YouTube stars, and we thought those days were over. Now, look, you can be loyal to Donald Trump if you wish. This is about a nation. Why is Trump welcoming all those who fought against him to get elected while ignoring those who fought for him? Leon DiCaprio? Al Gore, this one, now it's the Kardashians in the Lincoln bedroom, and I thought we were finished with Al Sharpton in the Lincoln bedroom. I think Trump has to stop being a reality star. This is not a television show. This is about saving the nation. Kanye West is not the person to turn to when you want to do that. If you listen to the content of his songs, you will hear a vision of America that is lower than the gutter. With Bill Clinton, it was about the economy, stupid. Trump can take care of the economy, we hope, but he also must remember that it's about the culture as well. I'm not surprised by any of this, incidentally. Let me explain what happened. On November 14, 2016, I published an article that was written by WorldNet Daily. They interviewed me. It was put on the Drudge Report for about 18 hours. It got millions and millions of people were shocked by what I wrote. The headline was, Savage Warns Trump on Priebus Looks Like Jeb Bush Won. And the subhead was, From Rhinos to Rinso in One Election. What happened was, is I alienated the entire Trump administration with that one article because I dared step out of line. But the fact of the matter is I have a primary loyalty to the truth, number one, and to my audience, because without it, there's no point in being on radio anymore. But the fact of the matter is I'm very, very concerned about the direction of some of these visits and some of these appointments, as are you. I think many of you are also reeling with the decision-making. And you're starting to say, wait a minute, what the heck is going on here? Why is a rapper known for vile lyrics, anti-woman, anti-white, anti-family, anti-America, why is he being embraced by the man that we embraced? Many of you are asking that. And then you wonder about McConnell. I never wondered about McConnell. We know what he is. He did it to us in 2012. Boehner and McConnell screwed us in 2012 after we put them back in power, and they're doing it again. Now, I saw this happening, and so I wrote From Rhinos to Rinso in One Election on November 14, 2016. Less than a week after Trump's victory, the nationally syndicated radio host is keeping his word, criticizing the appointment of Republican National Committee Chairman Rince Priebus as White House Chief of Staff. We've gone from Rhinos to Rinso in One Election, Savage told WND, dubbing Priebus with the name of the iconic laundry soap. Savage said he wanted to make it clear he was not turning on Trump. I'm not attacking Trump at all, he told WMD. I'm advising Trump to beware, because if he loses his base on the first day, what's going to happen in the first month, second month, third month? Savage went on and said, this is a criticism of the establishment that is so all-powerful that they're already entangling him. Savage has described in his latest book, Scorched Earth, Restoring the Country After Obama, as an architectural plan for Trump. Trump was a frequent guest on the Savage Nation, including on election day in the hours before Trump stunned establishment media and pundits with his victory over Hillary Clinton. Savage noted Priebus has argued for embracing comprehensive immigration reform, which opponents regard as de facto amnesty. And back in April, Savage pointed out, Priebus said he would not let the Trump campaign take over the Republican Party apparatus if he won the nomination, the New York Times reported. If we don't raise our voices now and say no over our dead bodies, you're not doing this to us again. Boehner and McConnell, who are they going to put on the Supreme Court, Savage asked. Are we going to get the conservative judges we were promised? Or are we going to get middle-of-the-roaders like Roberts, Rhino, Rinso judges? On trade, will the Rinsos pass TPP, Trans-Pacific Partnership, after we were told they were going to oppose TP? Priebus will create the top layer of bureaucracy in the country, not Bannon. Trump could have chosen Bannon, but he didn't. He also noted that the chief of staff is the gatekeeper to the White House. He decides who sleeps in the Lincoln bedroom, Savage said. We're going to have lobbyists. We're going to have Republican loyalists. We'll have the same exact thing we got under Boehner and McConnell, said Savage. Who do you think they're going to pick? They're not going to pick young Turks who want to change Washington. They want the status quo. It's going to be the Chamber of Commerce. It's as though Jeb Bush won. Savage added a word of perspective, however, imagining the alternative. Even if we only get 10% of what Trump promised us, we're 1,000% better than if she had won, he said, referring to Clinton. Remember what she would have done, Savage said. The Second Amendment would have been gone. The First Amendment emasculated. She would have increased the surveillance state. She would have flooded America with Muslims, raised taxes on the middle class, and day and night propaganda about the evils of being straight and the evils of the white race. So we're way ahead of the curve, said Michael Savage in the article, From Rhinos to Rinso in One Election. Now, on that November 14, 2016, I knew I took a big chance, but I had to do it. And now I'm waking up and seems to be a nightmare. One day after another, they seem to be tilting so far away from what they promised that it's hard to even remember what it is that he promised. So what do you think? Those are some of the questions. To me, the culture war matters. Remember, we once had a president who said family values matter. Does Kanye West represent family values? They don't represent my family values, maybe yours. Well, now we move on to Bill Gates, who says that Trump has the opportunity to be like JFK, which is very interesting. In that, Bill Gates, of course, is a powerful businessman who has a company that should be broken up under antitrust laws, as I've said before. Bill Gates goes there in the sweater, and he comes out in clip 9 and salutes him and calls him JFK. Let's hear this one.
A lot of his message has been about things where he sees things not as good as he'd like, but in the same way that President Kennedy talked about the space mission and got the country behind that, I think that whether it's education or stopping epidemics, other health breakthroughs, finishing polio.
All right. We got the picture. The whiz kid, he's happy with Trump now. Hated him before the election, backed Hillary Clinton, and now loves him. Well, what's interesting here is that he doesn't want his company broken up with an antitrust action. That's all. So he figured, I'll go take a trip to the tower. And he came out glowing, calling him JFK. So I guess that's over with. I guess there's not going to be an antitrust division in the new Justice Department. Maybe that's not even going to happen, because we know that Facebook is a monopoly. We know that Microsoft is a monopoly. We know that Google is a monopoly. We know that all of these companies, if we lived in a rational nation, would be broken up under antitrust legislation, which I wrote about in two books now, Government Zero, I explain why. Scorched Earth, I explain why. What is an antitrust division for? It's to make sure that there's competition. It's to make sure that there's a free capitalist system where there is competition. This is capitalism 101. But when a company becomes so big and so powerful, and they own the Congress, and the Congress will not stop their control of a particular sector of an industry, then there's no longer competition, there's no longer capitalism, there's no longer free capitalism, it's crony capitalism. Worse than that, there's no chance for a young company to develop, because they're crushed immediately. And that's where a government steps in and lets younger people develop competition. So Trump now visits with Gates. Gates comes out, calls him JFK, so I guess that's off the table. Let's see what else we have here in the kitty. Oh! So Obama now gives a speech, and going out the door, he stirs up the old racism again. He goes on a Comedy Central show. Where else does he belong? I mean, that's his future, is Comedy Central. He came from Comedy Central. He's going to end up on Comedy Central. Listen to how this pompous, crazy, obverse liar speaks in clip 7.
My general theory is that if I was clear in my own mind about who I was, comfortable in my own skin, and
he doesn't miss a hackneyed phrase
about
if he can.
The way in which race continues
get on with it already.
This powerful factor in so many elements of our lives.
You really suffered.
But that it is not the only factor in so many aspects of our lives.
Come on.
We have by no means overcome the legacies of slavery and
Bingo.
Jim Crow and
Bingo.
Colonialism
Jim
and
Crow.
Racism.
Bingo.
But that the progress we've made
he got into
has
one
been
sentence.
Real and extraordinary.
Uh-huh. The key words. Slavery, Jim Crow, colonialism, racism. Now, here's a kid raised by white grandparents, never suffered racism a day in his life. By his own admission, he never suffered racism. By his own admission, he didn't identify with any of these things until he went to Columbia. And then when he started acting out the role of a radical, he got a lot of attention from all of the commies over there. And that's when he started to play up on it. Look where it got him, two terms as president. So why should he stop now? He's leaving the White House, so what's left for him to do? Whatever he wants. So the best way to do it is do it the way he's been doing it. Talk about slavery, Jim Crow, colonialism, racism. The man never worked a day in his life before becoming a senator. Never had a job. He never had a job. Think about that. And he never suffered from racism. Why does he go on and on about it? Be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com.
What else is a big story? Vatican calls on priests to be highly sensitive to climate crisis. A real genius, the Pope. How could the bouncer know anything about the climate crisis? He lives in a bubble. The bouncer lives in a palace in the Vatican. The bouncer flies on Pope One, and yet he lectures on climate crisis. He's the Leon DiCaprio of the Catholic Church. And then we have top rhino stabbing Trump in the back in the form of Mitch McConnell. And, you know, just hearing McConnell's voice, you know he's the biggest liar in the history of politics. Let's listen to clip six. This is a shocker. Here's Mitch McConnell, top Republican, saying he's going to join the Democrats in looking into the Russian hacking in clip six. You got to hear this one.
Obviously, any foreign breach of our cybersecurity measures is disturbing.
Wow. Step right up here. I got some snake oil to shut you out of here, Kentucky.
The Russians are not our friends.
No, Sherry Bob.
Invaded Crimea.
There we go.
Senator McCain and I and some of our Democratic
another
friends,
reliable you know, source, Senator McCain.
The Baltic countries.
Here we go now.
This past week. Nervous about
line you up here for a big BS job.
And I think we ought to approach all of these issues on the assumption that the Russians do not wish us well.
No, sorry, Bob. Mr. Cole, please step forth and sell us some of your malacca.
How much money do you think these people have invested in the defense contracting industry? Quite a bit, I would imagine. McCain, of course, never met a war he didn't like. And he wants war with Russia. So there we got the Republican establishment wanting to start a Cold War again with Russia, which Obama did a very good job on. And that's another topic. Bill Gates going into the tower, coming out saying that Trump is JFK. Knowing probably that he won't have his company broken up under antitrust legislation. In fact, I would think that under Donald Trump, there'll be no antitrust division. That's what I think is coming. Maybe he'll dissolve the antitrust division. Instead of dissolving the civil rights division, which is what we thought was necessary, he'll dissolve the antitrust division. That might be good. So we can talk about these topics. The rhinos, the Vatican, the rapper in the tower going in for the meds. I would have think it would have been a security risk. I don't know how the Secret Service let him in there. The guy just came out of a bug house. From the bug house to the tower in one jump? Wouldn't you think that if a rapper goes into a bug house and comes, he's a little security threat? How did he clear the Secret Service so fast? He could have pulled out a rusty guitar string or something. I don't know. I wouldn't have let him in there. Maybe a phone call to the nut house, to the ward. Anyway, I could say this. It's going to be very good for talk radio the next year, but the direction we're going in. For those of you who are afraid Trump was going to bring back the Mormon Tabernacle Choir, I think you can put that one to rest. I mean, think about that. All you libs, you thought that he was going to bring back straight white America, right? You thought him and Pence were like a return to life with Father, and it was going to be the Mormon Tabernacle Choir at the inauguration, and it was going to be like Christmas cards and carols. You know, everything that you feared and hated about America that we all love, forget about it. That's not happening. Not at all. So you don't have anything to worry about with this administration. It's going to be like a continuation of Obama, it looks like to me, on the cultural level. Business, yes. We'll have economic recovery, booming economy, and that's a good thing. We may have more security. I'm not sure, though. I'm starting to read more about these appointments. I'm not so sure that they're as good as I thought.
Savage.